Penguin Random House presents The Book of Nanak by Navtej Sarna, read by Kulwin Suri. Introduction. Introduction by Navtej Sarna. The 5 centuries that have elapsed since the time that Guru Nanak walked on this earth are but the blink of an eye in the history of men. Contemporaneous events are well known. Men who lived at that time are well remembered. As I write these words, a glance outside the window takes me to the Lodi tombs, still in good repair, where sultans from the Lodi dynasty who ruled Delhi during Guru Nanak's lifetime lie buried. It was in Nanak's time that the first of the Mughals, Babur, invaded India several times and finally, winning the first battle of Panipat, replaced Ibrahim Lodi on the throne of Hindustan. His son Humayun, the white dome of whose tomb in Delhi shimmers in the hazy afternoon light, was battling to protect his fledgling empire when Nanak passed away. The Qutub Minar, whose once majestic domination of Delhi skyline, is now challenged by innumerable high-rise buildings, predates Nanak's birth by more than 2 centuries. Somewhat ironically, events that took place in other parts of the world during Guru Nanak's lifetime are even more current in our imagination. Columbus, in search of fabled India, stumbled upon the New World. Vasco da Gama found the route to India. Magellan completed the first voyage around the world. Corpus Christi College, that still stands at Oxford, was started, and Martin Luther took up the challenge of Reformation in Germany. We are not therefore dealing with one of the ancients, lost in the mist of time or remembered only through myths and hearsay. Guru Nanak, one of the greatest spiritual teachers mankind has known, and the founder of India's youngest major religion, is young in human memory. His impact is recent, his message fresh. What is lacking, and that is the reason that the above needed to be said, is precise historical detail regarding the life of Nanak, thus making it sound more distant than it actually is. There are no available records of that time, no exact itineraries of his incredible travels, no eyewitness accounts that would have brought home the immediacy of Nanak's world to us. For details of Guru Nanak's life, we have to turn to sources which are not biographical in their approach. Nanak's own writings, Bhai Gurdas's first war or heroic ode, and the Janam Sakhis or anecdotal biographies, the earliest of which were written several decades after Nanak's death. Later writings on the life of Guru Nanak derive essentially from one or the other cycles of the Janam Sakhis and do not unearth new empirical data. Guru Nanak's own writings are contained in 1,000 hymns in the Adi Granth, superb poetry set to divine music. These hymns, however, contain virtually no biographical details regarding places, dates, and events connected with Nanak's life, with the possible exception of Babur's invasions. Nanak's message was predicated on the essential belief that he was only a messenger, transmitting the divine word from the supreme reality to men. A detailed account of his life would have betrayed this belief. A brief sketch of Guru Nanak's life was given by Bhai Gurdas, a nephew of the third Guru, Amar Das, in his first war. Stanzas 23 to 45 of the war contain some biographical material on the life of Guru Nanak. This account, sketchy as it is useful in that it comes from a source closely associated with the Gurus, fully aware of the message of Guru Nanak and its relevance in that age. The war was written about 80 years after Nanak died. The genre of Janam Sakhis is not one that lends itself easily to the historian's obsession with facts. Rather, the Janam Sakhis are popular forms of episodic narrative where names, places, and dates are rarely mentioned. They do not follow any predictable chronology, and the authorship of the texts, with the exception of one, is unknown. They are written in Gurmukhi, and the language used is Punjabi or Sadhukari. As is often the case with tales of spiritual teachers, the stories are imbued with drama and colored by people's imagination and belief. As a result, myths, legends, and miracles abound. Since there are clear contradictions among the different traditions of Janam Sakhis, there is no dearth of issues for pure academic inquiry, only a dearth of definitive sources. All this, however, does not make Janam Sakhis irrelevant. First, they are all we have. And second, a generous approach towards them, based on their intent and meaning, and armed with a spirit of reconciliation towards the obvious contradictions, can help facilitate the reconstruction of the main events of Guru Nanak's life. It must always be kept in view that these Janam Sakhis were written not by historians, but by believers. The origin of the Janam Sakhis would appear to be memories of Nanak as orally told and collectively recalled. To this is added, inevitably, piety, faith, reverence, and contemporary belief of the writers themselves. The stories thus have a great value, not simply as a record of events, but as an interpretation of the doctrine. They are a graphic portrayal of the message rather than a mere description adhering strictly to the dictates of time and place. It would be useful, before proceeding further, to take a brief look at the four traditions or cycles of Janam Sakhis. Most Sikh children, certainly of the last generation, have heard Sakhis or stories at their grandmother's knee, in which Guru Nanak has not one but two companions, Bala and Mardana. Bala's name attaches to the most popular and influential of the traditions, Pai Bala Janam Sakhi. The reason for the popularity of this set of Janam Sakhis is the claim, not taken seriously by most scholars, that it was dictated by Pai Bala in the presence of the second Guru, Angad Dev, and forms an eyewitness account of Guru Nanak's life and travels. It is now believed that Pai Bala Janam Sakhi was grossly interpolated by the heretical sect of Hindalis. The Puratan Janam Sakhi is the oldest, believed to be written about 80 years after the death of Guru Nanak. The first manuscript of the Puratan, known as the Vilayatwali Janam Sakhi, was discovered, partly destroyed by white ants, in 1872, though it had been brought to London in 1815 by Henry Thomas Colebrook, a Sanskrit scholar and member of the Council of the East India Company in Calcutta. The second manuscript was discovered by Pai Gurmukh Singh of Oriental College, Lahore, in Hafizabad, and handed over to M.A. McAuliffe. This came to be known as the Hafizabad Wali Janam Sakhi. The two manuscripts were collated into a composite whole by the Sikh savant Pai Veer Singh and published in 1926. A number of other manuscripts were found subsequently, including one dated 1640. The third Janam Sakhi, discovered in 1940, is ascribed to Sodi Meherban, 1581 to 1640, grandson of the fourth Guru, Ramdas. His father, Prithi Chand, disputed the succession of Guru Arjan and fell away from the Sikh tradition. The shadow of these differences put into question the legitimacy of the Sodi Meherban Janam Sakhi, but the recent discovery of an authentic manuscript has again revived interest in this Janam Sakhi.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?